The Minnesota Court of Appeals is now in session. Judge Frisch, Judge Riley, Judge Flory, the Honorable Judge Frisch presiding.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Minnesota Court of Appeals. Today is March 24, 2021. We have three cases on our oral calendar this morning. This is the first case. It is A21520 Tobias versus, is it Revere? Did I pronounce that correctly?
Very good. You did, Your Honor.
Very good. Thank you. Counsel, I'm just going to ask that you mute your microphone if you are not speaking. Before you begin your argument, please identify yourself. These matters are being recorded. The marshal is showing a running clock of your time. Each of you will have 15 minutes for your primary argument, and the appellant will have an additional 5 minutes for rebuttal. And with that, counsel, you may proceed.
Your Honor, this is Michael Bryant. I represent Caitlin Tobias in this hearing. It's not really a complicated issue. The main question is, what does Cox mean concerning delivery to the sheriff? We contend that its main purpose, the big issue, was the actual whether or not they got the original copy. That's what was important, and that's the exception that the court found to the facts that was done. Since the sheriff did receive the actual copy, which was by mail, it's our position that that was good. And under the statute, that gave us the additional time, which we then were able to find the defendant and serve the defendant. So I don't know. I don't have, you know, my brief was short. I don't have anything more than that. But that to me is the big issue.
What do you make of the 2020 rule amendment? I mean, well, that is post Cox. And that isn't that the answer to Cox, that in addition to personal delivery, we're going to allow you to mail it to? That's the 2020. What's the other purpose of the amendment?
Well, I think it's to deal with this whole issue of, well, what's the issue as far as service goes. And it just clarified that it's that they get the original copy. So it wasn't that it suddenly.
But that's
allowed
not what the language of the amendment is. The language of the amendment is, we're going to let you mail it too.
Well, I guess that's not how we read it, Your Honor. That it was allowable. It wasn't saying that it wasn't allowable beforehand. The issue in Cox only was the original summons complaint. It wasn't an issue and whether or not a fax dealt with that. I don't believe, or I would submit that reading is not that it was simply suddenly okay to mail it as of that date. I think it's always been okay to mail it.
Okay. I mean, I don't understand what language you're looking at that would convert personal delivery, mail into personal delivery.
Well, it is personal delivery. I mean, if you read it to the extreme of personal delivery, would I have to be the one who gives it to him? Would my client have to be the one who gives it to him? They did get the actual, it was personally delivered to the sheriff. So it's not like the fax issue was that there's
wait
no
a minute.
Original.
If you're going to take it to that level, what's the evidence of personal delivery to the sheriff? My understanding is that it was put in the mail, and then we don't know what happened between the time that you put it in the mail and the time that the sheriff got it. Maybe it was in the mailbox.
We have the postmark that they received it. That's part of the evidence. They did receive it in time. They didn't receive it after the date. We're not using the mailbox rule to indicate that we got more time. We got it to them in time.
What's your best case that stands for the proposition that mail constitutes personal delivery or personal service in any jurisdiction?
I don't think there's a specific, I'm trying to think through the rules. I mean, we're in most circumstances, we're able to deliver by mail. We have service by mail. Fax was a unique thing that came along. That was a distinction that was different. I think that's always been allowed. I mean, our briefs show up. We serve our briefs on the court by mail. or we did. Now we now electronically has been added now as a as an addition, but we've done that for years.
My understanding from the rules is that service by mail is totally proper once a summons and complaint have been served. But for the start of the lawsuit, you have to serve it personally.
Service by mail is it, you can have service by mail. So that's, I mean, if they sign a sheet saying they received it, you could,
If it goes to the sheriff, but if it goes to the defendant, it has to be by person.
No, you can, the rule. You can serve a person by mail. They'd have to sign a form saying they got it, but you can do that under the rules.
That's, right, but that wasn't what was done here.
No. No, but I'm just trying to answer the question that's one of the things you can do that's allowable under the rules. I'm not saying that's what I did. No, that's not my point. My point is you've always been able to do that. It's just they have to sign it and say that they received it that way versus a sheriff showing up or personal service. And you do that just to make sure that you get the person. We just were unfortunately able to get this person during the time period. So we added the extra time by getting it to the sheriff. And that's all we were doing. It wasn't anything, you know, beyond that. You know,
so if personal delivery and service by mail were the same thing, why does the rule talk about them differently?
Well, because are you talking about the amendment or are you talking about the overall rule?
Well, we're talking about the overall rule where that required personal delivery in this case to the sheriff's office. You're saying that service by mail is the same thing because someone had to personally deliver it there. Why distinguish between the two if they're one and the same under the rules?
I don't know, but I don't know that's a difference that's significant in this case. As to whether or not it gets there in time, the Cox just complicated the issue because you had this fax issue and they concentrated on the original. And the importance was that they got the original. It was nothing else. That was the key factor for Cox. It didn't get into. I mean, it was the original that was important. And both of them get the original there, and both of them are allowable under the rules as I read it or have always read it. That's unless anybody's got any other questions, that's the basics for our issue.
Anything else from the panel?
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you, Mr. Bryant. You'll have 5 minutes for rebuttal if you choose to use it. Thank you, Ms. Gornick. Just wait 1 second when we get the timer up for you. All right, go ahead.
Thank you, Your Honor. Brianna Gornick on behalf of Respondent Ethan Revere. A couple issues. As you know, we do have this one specific narrow issue before you today, and that is what constitutes delivery under Rule 3.01C specifically in this case. And prior to the 2020 amendment to the rule, the Singleman case from 2010 and the Cox case, Supreme Court case from 2018, interpreted that rule. In the 2010 case, Judge Bjorkman considered whether mailing of the summons and complaint to the sheriff was sufficient and determined it was not. In the Cox decision in 2018, it was an issue of a facsimile. And importantly, I think in that case, based on some of the comments made this morning, the court, the fax was sent on the last day before the statute expired. It was received on that date. So if we go with counsel's argument that actual receipt is enough, it was actually received and the court said that's not enough. The rule requires delivery and delivery as interpreted and defined by the court in Singleman constituted personal delivery. I think it's helpful to look at the Court of Appeals decision in the Cox case. Judge Bjorkman was the presiding judge at the Court of Appeals on the Cox case. She wrote the Singleman opinion at the Court of Appeals in 2010. She presided and the Cox case in 2017. Judge Riley, Your Honor, before us here this morning, wrote the Court of Appeals opinion, unpublished opinion in the Cox case in 2017. And I think that the Court of Appeals opinion in Cox makes more clear what the Supreme Court held in Cox the following year in 2018. The court in the, Judge Riley in the Court of Appeals in the Cox case indicated that personal, the respondent in that case wanted personal delivery to equate to actual receipt, and that was not sufficient. The court very clearly stated that personal delivery required personal service of the summons and complaint to the sheriff under 301C. And I think also, if we go back to the Supreme Court opinion in Cox, we can look at Justice Anderson's dissent, which makes clear and provides some context to the discussions that were being had during the Cox Supreme Court case. Justice Anderson disagreed and felt like the Singelman case and the Cox case had too narrowly interpreted what delivery meant under 301C. And he felt that basically the actual receipt was sufficient, but indicated that it was helpful to have a clear rule as articulated in Singelman and Cox, and that should a change be made, it should be made by amendment to the rule. 301C was amended in 2018. That did not include an amendment to the delivery under 301C.
What do you make of that amendment, Ms. Gornick? I mean, it seems to me that the amendment post Cox to add mail as another form of acceptable service to the sheriff is indicative of the fact that in that pre-amendment, it wasn't allowed. Otherwise, there'd be no reason for the amendment.
I completely agree. I think that the rule was reviewed. I think that the decision was made that based on the law as it stood, the interpretation of delivery under 301C required personal delivery, personal service of the summons and complaint to the sheriff. The Singelman court said it as it reviewed that case involved mailing of the summons and complaint to the sheriff. And the Cox court also reviewed delivery under 301C in by way of a facsimile. Both courts said that personal delivery was personal service was required to meet the delivery requirement under 301C until the rule was amended in 2020. There was some discussion about the remainder of Rule 3 allowing for mailing of the summons and complaint to the defendant. Obviously, that's not at issue before the court here today. I think it's important to note, though, that that part of the rule does require a defendant to acknowledge receipt by affidavit. And the law in the courts in Singelman and Cox talk about that service by sheriff using subdivision C of 301 is basically substituting service on the sheriff for the defendant. And as such, the courts in Singelman and Cox felt that that necessitated the personal delivery of the summons and complaint. I'm happy to answer any other questions, but I believe that in this case, when this lawsuit was, when they were attempting to serve the suit in 2019, Singelman and Cox control. And I request that the district court's dismissal be affirmed.
All right, thank you. Any other questions from the panel this morning? All right, thank you, Ms. Gornick. Mr. Bryant, just one moment. Anytime you're ready, sir.
Yeah, I went back and I'm looking at 301. The issue is getting it to the sheriff, and the argument of that we weren't allowed to get it to the sheriff by mail until 2020 seems contrary to everything that was being done before then. The issue in Cox was only the original. It didn't get into anything beyond that. It didn't get into
the issue in Cox was the manner of delivery. It wasn't the original. Well, Cox deals with, there's a specific meaning to personal delivery within the meaning of the rule. That's what Cox stands for. Wouldn't you agree, counsel?
I don't. When you read it, it seems to concentrate completely upon the issue of being an original, that you need to have the original. And because the facsimile wasn't the original, I mean, that's why the rule went further to discuss when they made the exceptions, they went into the reasons why faxes didn't make sense.
You don't think that on page 544 of the opinion where Justice Lillehug says, in our view, delivery and delivered have a special meaning within the context of Rule 301C that requires personal delivery? That's not the holding of this opinion.
No, I agree with that language, but it goes back to its linchpin is that it's the original that you're serving. That it's not that they didn't get an original. That's what, for the court, I submit is the big issue.
Where's that? Can you point to me where in the opinion you're seeing that, where they're focusing on the original versus the manner of delivery?
Yes.
I'm not seeing that.
I'm just looking at that.
I mean, I'm also looking at right at Roman numeral three of Justice Lillehug's opinion, having concluded that delivery under Rule 301C requires personal delivery and that facsimile transmission is not that, we now consider whether it was properly commenced.
Well, I was looking at I had it, Your Honor. I apologize.
It's all right. Go ahead, counsel.
I guess what I was looking at was, and I apologize, what I was looking at was the dissenting opinion. I thought this was Cox were specific. It was a dissenting opinion in Johnson, which is the Connecticut case, where they talked about that. So I apologize, Your Honor. I was looking at the wrong thing. I apologize. That's my mistake. So I don't, other than the arguments I've already made, I don't have anything further.
All right. Thank you. From the other panelists, any other questions this morning? All right. Thank you very much. The matter is submitted. We'll take the matter under advisement and issue an opinion within the statutory time period. Thank you very much, counsel. Have a good day.